to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
Good evening, everybody. We are in the first podcast here in March month, and I'm just wondering, Nintendo, like, forget it, we are in a bit of a epidemic right now with this virus thing, but can you maybe, I don't know, give us, like, a teaser image, even a teaser image of something that's going to be happening of the next coming year? Please, we need something!
Well, don't do that, or otherwise they'll, like, show, like, another thing for Animal Crossing, or Mystery Dungeon, which just came out.
I mean, heck, I would not mind if they do something like the Skyward Sword teaser image, honestly. We just need something, anything!
Yep. No Direct, and we all know what that means when the news segment comes around, so we'll wait. And also here is the person we're going to be torturing later, Tellius Tyler.
I am confused as to why I'm being tortured. I told you guys last week there was never going to be another Nintendo Direct.
Oh,
I delivered. Listen, I'm back.
You did. Promise, you promised for weeks that there was going to be a Nintendo Direct.
Yeah,
true,
and then last week,
my
spirits were broken last week. I was crushed morally, and I thought, you know what? The only explanation is there's never going to be another. And I still feel that way. I just, next week, you heard it here first, not going to be a Nintendo Direct. They're done.
It was actually quite heartbreaking at points last week where I was seeing, or this week where I was seeing you post, like, yeah, there's not going to be another Nintendo Direct this week. Oh, yep, another 2 hours, no Nintendo Direct. It was just like, it's getting kind of depressing, man.
it really was. I'm glad I conveyed my depression through that, because every time I'd see, like, when you refresh the tweets and it comes up with, like, three images of who tweeted recently, every time Nintendo would be one, I'd be like, oh, this is the Direct announcement. Nope, it's Animal Crossing comes out in March 20th, or, you know, some other Pokemon Mystery Dungeon. It was very depressing every time.
Yeah. Oh, well. Alright, so we are not going to lie, ladies and gentlemen. It's honestly been a very slow week, which is ironic because of a certain anniversary that's just happened. But we'll be addressing that later. But of course, we're going to all start off with, what have you been playing? And I'll start because I honestly haven't been playing much, but my excuse is that I was kind of at a Comic-Con. I was at the one and only C2E2 in Chicago, Illinois. And I am proud to say, and a shout out to all of you out there who was there, but we had plenty of great Nintendo cosplays. So I'm literally scrolling through my photos right now. Some of the ones I saw included Lucina, Nurse Joy, Tom Nook,
one.
Kid you not, an excellent Dimitri. Post time jump with his spear. What was it called again?
Aragbar.
Oh,
did he go eye patch?
Yep, eye patch too. That's how I noticed him.
Nice.
Yes, it was. And then let's see. Oh, come on, there was more than that. I had to switch to Twitter, but there was so many. I saw a couple Marios.
I was gonna say, did anybody go as Mario?
I did. In fact, not only that, I saw a trio of tennis stars, Mario, Peach, and Rosalina.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was. And I was like, I didn't get the chance to ask him, but I was gonna like lull him into a trap where I was gonna be like, okay, if you had to pick one of these two to be your doubles partner and you have to face the other, who is it gonna be? But I never got the chance. Well, I mean, it's a thing where you're like, you know, you have to keep going. It's hard. You know, it's like you're trying to focus on such. Oh, yeah, I saw plenty of Links. Like, plenty. And Zeldas, plenty of them. I like, especially a lot of Breath of the Wild Zeldas and Links. Though that's not really surprising if you think about it. So, let's see. I saw a couple Bowsers. Like small-time Bowsers, obviously. I saw one Bowsetta.
Oh, Bowsetta.
One Boosetta.
Boozette.
Really?
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm not surprised. It's Comic-Con. Let's see. Who else did I see?
I'm surprised that there's no Bylefs you mentioned.
Who?
Byleth.
Oh, no! That's the other thing. Byleth was the most seen Nintendo character all weekend.
Really?
Male and female variants. Like, plenty of them. Like, some of them were, like, really detailed. Some of them were more, like, casual Byleth clothes. But I saw at least 7 or 8 Byleths. Full stop. And though I didn't get a picture of her, I saw a very elegant looking Marianne.
Really?
Oh, that's like full on post-war dress. Like, it was magnificent, but she went by my table before I could call out to her. So,
cool deal.
Yeah, I was like, I am always impressed by the cosplay at certain Comic Cons, and C2E is always the one where, you know, they really go all out. And like, for all you Star Wars fans out there, I saw K2RS. What was the one from Rogue One? K2SO or something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah, the mean droid that we all loved because he was a dick. Yeah, someone like dressed up as him and actually wore stilts on his feet so he could be like 8 feet tall. Very, very nice. And plenty of other. I actually saw one of my favorite video game characters of all time. I saw someone dressed up as Sly Cooper.
That
was a first for me. So that was nice. And lots of other great cosplays. But it was really fun. It was a lot of cool stuff. There was plenty of like Pokemon plushies and such. And if I wasn't so strapped for cash and trying to make a profit on this con, I would have totally bought some. Like, that's my big regret. If I just had like 10,000 bucks to spend at a con, I would need like a couple extra suitcases for all the plushies and statues. Like, I would have to buy a large box and like ship it home.
Yeah.
Right.
To dream. Anyway. But I did really well at the con. It was a lot of fun. Some small stresses, but I also made some contacts for comic books. Might have some big projects coming up soon, which I'm really hoping for. So, but because of that, I honestly didn't get to play much. I was playing Fire Emblem Heroes, obviously, and been saving up orbs, which is perfect because we got another banner coming up, which is the another Three Houses banner. We're going to get Bernadetta, Lysithia, Ferdinand von Eyre, and who was the fourth?
Annette.
So yeah, another nice Three Houses banner. So that's nice. Always appreciated. And I have like 200 some odd orbs. Will's got 375. I think you said.
Nah, I just opened up my app. I'm at 378 now.
Sure. And Tyler's got nothing.
I have none. Yeah. Well, unlike Will, I don't make blood sacrifices anymore. And unlike you, I don't have any patience, so I kept spending all of my orbs on the Crom banner. I couldn't get Crom.
Wow,
I got somebody else.
Really?
I got Julia instead, which is fine, but I wanted Crom. And now they released Ferdinand von Eyre, although I will say Ferdinand von Eyre's art and skills list is a little underwhelming, in my opinion. Lysithia, on the other hand, looks amazing, and she looks super strong.
I mean, I actually think that her art looks off. She looks, like, much younger than she's supposed to be. Like, especially with, like, her hair and the eyes. And, I mean, I know this is pre-time jump, but it kind of fell off to me.
Yeah, I mean, everybody has different tastes. I liked it, the simplicity of it. I thought it looked good. I'm sure it was the same artist who did the legendary Tiki, because that's a really similar style, and I like the look for her.
Right. Like, everyone definitely shares a much more softer art style. It's not like what we used to in the official artwork, so again, different interpretation.
Yeah.
Also, I made a shocking revelation yesterday, and Will, I'm going to need you to visualize this so you can understand it, alright? Alright, I want you to picture Arthur from Fire Emblem Fates, okay?
Oh, of course.
Okay, I want you to think of, like, his stance, his armor, his hair, his personality. Okay, you got it?
Okay.
Now I want you to imagine him meeting All Might from My Hero Academia.
I would not be surprised, honestly.
No, but like, think of the similarities between these two. The way they act, the hair, the armor, it's like virtually the same. The only difference is that Arthur has an axe. And All Might's All Might.
Again, All Might, Arthur, Might Guy.
Yeah.
I mean, all the cool guys of anime, manga, and video games, like, they share that same personality trait. And again, they're just lovable. They're kind of cheesy in a certain spec, but they're lovable, honestly. Yeah.
But it's just like a thought about it. I was like, man, Arthur looks like All Might. And then I pictured All Might and Arthur, and I'm like, oh my gosh, they do look alike. It was planned the whole time. All right. But yeah, so besides that, I honestly haven't been playing much, but hopefully next week, or by next week, I'll be able to jump back in and, you know, hopefully finish Pokemon Shield, because I'm doing great. I'm literally in, like, the final phases of the Pokemon League, so I'm like right there, but I just had no time. And then Saturday I got another con to go to, Luckily, this one's closer. It's only one day, so we'll see how it goes.
Wow. Busy bee.
Oh, yeah, this is the busiest month I've ever had in con season. I've got 4 cons in 5 weeks, so...
In 5 weeks? Jeez, man. Make sure to wash your hands at those cons. Whew.
Wait, wash my what?
Wash your hands.
Oh, that was a joke, Will.
Okay, so aside from that, for me, I actually have been kind of been playing some good demos recently. It's, I mean, yes, I'm stepping out a little bit of Nintendo Zone for the timing right now, but the first demo that was actually took place during the weekend was the Neo 2 Last Chance demo, which I saw it's totally different from the alpha, like earlier released it like last year. And gotta say, like this Neo 2, if you love, like it's very... If you love the first Neo, they're gonna love this, like this one, especially like with updated mechanics and yokai of just like the different, especially in during the time of feudal Japan. Like, I love like the whole sentient, the whole like new system of the sentient, like the demon blades and actually blast blades. So I'll go a little bit of Muramasa kind of style, and yeah, like if it. Like, the only thing I could pretty much take away from the Neo 2 Last Chance Trial demo is basically, anybody listening, burst counters are your best friend in this game, because that thing will help you out so much in times of need. So, yeah, burst counters, just basically your best friend. And also, pretty much the biggest demo that came out this past week, which came out of nowhere, was the Final Fantasy VII Remake demo for the PS4. And
yeah, don't you think it's weird, though?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're releasing a demo for a game that's not going to come out for 10 years.
Funny.
Yes, I am.
And yeah, just speaking as a guy who never have played the original game, even if it's on the Switch, and also PS3, PS4, all the iterations, I never actually have played the original Final Fantasy VII. So coming in as a newcomer, I can see why it's so exciting, honestly. It's like the music, it just like, there was just... Even for Square Enix standards, they put in so much care into this product. Like, they really don't want to mess this up. And playing the first Bomberman...
That's like a Curse Spider to do.
Yes. I think in this demo, they pretty much are very aware of, like, they do not want to mess this up. And just, like, playing through the demo, like, it works so well. Even as a newcomer for Final Fantasy VII, like myself, it just really works well. So just playing with Cloud... And just the characters and just that sense of cheesiness back in the 90s, like it's there. So, if you're a newcomer like myself for Final Fantasy VII, then this definitely try the demo. I highly recommend it. So, definitely try it out. And of course, naturally, with Faye with the whole banners. And just a quick heads up, everyone's getting a free Altina from the voting gauntlet. So, yeah, free legendary hero.
Hey, I want an Altina.
I already have her, ironically enough. I got her very easily.
Yeah, well, then here. I can see why you'd want something.
I've been fighting so hard, Tyler. I want my gosh dang girl on the throne.
Hey, at least you guys got the three main characters of three houses. I still need to get Claude. So, but yeah, I digress. But yeah, overall, yeah, playing a bit of Fae and just basically grinding up my orbs until this current banner or the choose your brave heroes. Man, we want. I just really wonder how they're gonna do the whole. Like the time skip designs. Are you gonna go with the time skip designs or a new weapon? I'm very curious about what they're gonna do with that banner. So, here's something. So, just hoarding those orbs and yeah, hopefully, Fae Pass doesn't let me try. Hopefully, I'm until next month.
Tyler?
I have been playing Fire Emblem Three Houses still. I'm approaching the end of my Black Eagles run. I'm at the battle where the church attacks the monastery. So I just defeated Claude. I'm still waiting for these big reveals, Todd, that you've promised will change the way I see Edelgard, because right now I'm just, you know, I know the history. She's telling me her version of the history, and she's just factually wrong on a lot of these things. And quite frankly, she's a little xenophobic of the dragon people, of the Sothis people. But that aside, I'm still really enjoying the run through. I'm trying to get everybody's supports. The Death Knight, this is the first time I've used him, he is so ridiculously overpowered. It's crazy, because my team was doing fine. They were all fairly strong, but Bernadetta was really holding us back. So I dropped her and put in Yuritsa as a replacement, and it's just his stats are just so stinking high. I cannot imagine playing on normal or hard with Yuritsa, because I feel like he would just kill everything right away.
He is
with just
a very powerful
no
unit. He is a very powerful unit. Yes.
You got to use him?
Yeah, yeah. Again, there's during my Malaysia trip, I used Yuritsa with Marianne, and Marianne and what was the other girl's name? But yeah, like basically, as long as you don't really make him use the Sub-Sario, like he even with like basic swords and lances, he is like a beast. Especially when you max out his character classes, he is quite the beast.
That's what I was actually gonna say next, because I didn't realize I couldn't repair his special lance, so it's down to 9 uses. And I was like, oh, let me go repair that now just so I don't forget to do it later. And then it was blocked out. So I have to save those for, I'm sure, the final chapter, which I've been promised is very hard. So I'm a little concerned.
Yeah, that's what I did. That's what I did,
yeah. Yeah, because usually I'll save all the legendary weapons, and then I will just end up not using them ever. So I'm just like, you know what? This time I'm going to use all like the items that you get that boost your stats. As soon as I get them, I'm going to use them. I'm not going to have a giant... just like clutter of them at the end of the game that I'm just kind of throwing at people without even thinking. So I figured I could just use his lance, and unfortunately that has proven to not be the case. So that's difficult. But I am excited. Yes.
Question. We come to the Sephisaria, because I know like when you use the rest option, you repair the sword to creator, but that doesn't apply to the Sephisaria.
So I haven't rested yet. I did think maybe, I didn't look it up, that could be the case. I don't think it is, but potentially.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because you can repair the sword of the creator by going to the blacksmith, so.
Yeah, I did it all the time.
Yeah, but you can't repair the stuff, so I'm unsure. But maybe, if that's the case, then I just need to rest a day, and then I can go back to using it, because, yeah, he's just so stinking powerful. And his supports are really good. I'm glad that they gave him conversations, because they didn't do that for Anna. So I do wonder, like, the timetable on when they recorded it, because all the Ashen Wolves have, like, a full list of support as well. But, yeah, he's a very fun character, and I'm glad that, for no other... I guess for that reason alone, I'm really glad I've done the Black Eagle route. Although I have come to appreciate Hubert a lot more as well. Hubert's pretty fun. So,
I mean, that one thing I appreciate about like with this new current patch, like the new update after the Ashen Wolves, is like again, like apparently Yuritsa and Bernadette do share a good bond. They share a support link, which is like I saw some of the convos and okay, that's an odd couple right there. Yuritsa, Death Knight, and Bernadetta.
I have them at B right now, and their support is pretty funny, I have to say. It's like post-time skip Bernadetta, so she's not quite as shrill as she used to be. But yeah, it is every bit as goofy of a pairing as you would expect. She's like, I figured out your identity, you're the Death Knight! And he's like, everybody knows that.
real dramatic
voice.
All right. Well, and then let's get to the news, which has been so slow. Oh well. I know it's hard, but we gotta get through this. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. And first, we are going to talk about our dear Father Sakurai, who once again has failed to take care of himself, and so by his own admission, he passed out in a gym. Sakurai! This came from a recent thing he did with Famitsu, and he goes, thus, the other day after going to the gym for the first time in a while, I blacked out in the bathing area, losing consciousness for a few seconds and consequently falling down. The bad situation was the combination of being tired and dehydrated, and that's very dangerous and something I need to be careful of. You think?
Like, it's kind of basic 101 health knowledge that, like, you gotta keep yourself hydrated. I mean, I understand, I'm not sure if you're trying to bulk, but, like, we don't need Sakurai being a whole macho man and have those muscles not contracting, which, that is very dangerous. So, yeah, please, Sakurai, like, as much as you want to get your health or bulk up, please, watch your health. We don't need another Late Iwata incident, please.
He's so skinny, Sakurai. He's so tiny. Like, this is not surprising at all. And Because, you know, we've heard all the stupid things. I am so tired of hearing about, don't work too hard on Smash because you're going to get sick. Like, Sakurai, I love him. He should know how to take care of himself by now. You know, he should know how to take care of himself by now. And I'm glad that he's okay. But, man, that guy is so skinny. Like, you got to eat food. And then if you're going to work out, you have to eat. It's crazy that he doesn't do that.
Well, part of the problem, I think, is because he prescribes to the Patrick Stewart diet, where he drinks the blood of children to stay youthful for so long.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point.
I appreciate Alvy who got that Stephen Colbert joke. You're welcome. But yeah, he is so frail. And like, never forget the story where he was working on Smash Brothers Ultimate with an IV in his arm! Really? Also, Will, now I can't get the idea of Sakurai acting like Macho Man Randy Savage and doing something like, oh, you want another... Smash Brothers DLC! Oh, yeah! I want to see that so badly now. Just to see how he would try and do it. Ah, to dream. But yes, please, Sakurai, do take care of yourself. We love you. We know you want to do it right by us. You almost always do. And we are grateful. But he has had faults. We can't lie about these things. Oh! That's something I forgot. When I was at C2E2... One of the cosplayers that I saw was a Waluigi, and it was a person with like a sign saying Waluigi for Smash 2020, as it trying to be like in the next DLC package, and she was like not having it. Then I yelled at her like, "You get out of here with that! How dare you bring that up to me?" And she goes, "It's gonna happen." And I started like making puns to get rid of her, and it's just like, yeah, there are those fans still out there. So
I mean, the fact that, again, ever since the whole initial review of Piranha Plant and that whole meme, like, how did this plant get into Smash then before me? Even though, he is the primary user of Piranha Plant, I still remember, like, Mario Party 3, he actually was the ally, so, Waluigi, such the sad little sheep that he is, like, the sad little black sheep.
You're an assist trophy, stay there. That's where you belong. All right, moving on, we got, and Wilt slightly touched on this earlier last week, we have an update on Bayonetta 3. And by update, I mean Platinum Games saying, hey, it's still in the works. Like, yeah, like, seriously, what is going on with this game? And during an interview, the Platinum Games executive vice president and producer, Atsushi, is that really his name?
Atsushi Inaba
had said, literally, there's nothing to worry about. Quote, laugh. There's nothing to worry about at all. There's nothing to worry about. Things are going well. Really, there's nothing to worry about. Hey, guess what, Inaba? When you say there's nothing to worry about three times in the course of a few sentences, guess what? We worry!
It's really kind of like, okay, Inaba-san, we're thankful that you are reconfirming that production is going well, but throw us a freaking phone here, throw us an image or something, even a gun design or concept art, something.
Show us Bayonetta, like just that. Just show us what Bayonetta's gonna look like in Game 3, because obviously it's gonna be different from Game 2, because you said like you're trying to evolve the looks of the character. That's awesome. Just show us her, and then we'll be fine for like a week. Like again, we're talking about this because the first time we glimpsed Bayonetta 3 was the teaser at the Game Awards in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And like it's like everything since then has been like, hey, we're working on it. It's going well. Production's still going. It shouldn't have taken you this long unless you guys are pulling like a Metroid Prime 4 and having like to restart from the beginning.
Oh my, please don't jinx it.
Yeah, I know. But it's just like, there's nothing to worry about. Really? Sure about that?
Production cannot be going well. There's no other explanation.
Well, I mean, there are plenty of other explanations, such as, they worked on that. They wanted to get Astral Chain done first, which was clearly the right move. And then they're working on a project to go.
Yeah, but that would still qualify as production not really going well, because it's not moving at that point.
This is true. So, we're gonna be waiting, but we're going to be watching Inaba.
We are always watching.
Sorry. Alright, so moving on to another Platinum game, Wonderful 101 Remastered, which again is coming out in May to Switch, PS3, and PC. Not Xbox, ha 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 ha.
PS4, you said PS3.
Huh?
You said PS3 is actually on PS PS4.
No, no, no. They are coming out to PS3. They're gonna go back. They're gonna go back before looking forward. No, I'm kidding, guys. It is PS4. I apologize. But yeah, we are indeed in like the final stage. How much time is left, Will?
Last I checked on the Kickstarter, which I just backed it, we're currently now at the 22-hour mark at time of recording. So by the time of like tomorrow afternoon, that's when it's gonna end.
Yeah. And Platinum Games gave us an update today, actually, at the time of this recording. They're at over 30,300 backers, and they have crossed the $2 million mark, backer-wise. Mm-hmm. And so that's impressive, because now they're going to add another mission to the side game of Luca, and which is cool. And, yeah, so, like, they are way into the green on what they want to do with this. Fine. And in fact, they even noted in another interview was that, you know, they weren't doing this just to, you know, raise money. They were doing this to try and see if people were interested. And to be fair, 30,000 people were interested. So good for them. But in terms of possibly getting a sequel, probably not.
Well, I just have to see it, like, again, with this current reception. I mean, yeah, there is the current Kickstarter, and then it'll be at the general sale after, once it's released
right.
to the public. And,
right.
like, if it does real, I mean, the game itself is solid. It's just, like, if more people are going to get exposed to it. And if it gets more exposure, I mean, yeah, Platinum Games could definitely do a wonderful 102 or something. I mean, heck, I would like to see another chapter into the story of this universe.
Never know. You never know. All right, so next up is a very interesting story about the history of gaming, specifically Smash Brothers. And in a interview with Shigeru Miyamoto, he revealed that Nintendo originally had some reservations about allowing Mario to appear in the game. And Miyamoto himself had to reassure them that it was fine for him to be in Smash Brothers. Quote, "When we were making Smash Brothers, there were some people who were worried. They asked me, is it really okay to have Mario punch and kick? I actually had to plead with them by explaining that he already pulls turtles out of their shells."
Yep. And, I mean, like, the Mario lore is much more grim than we think it is, so yes.
Yeah. Like, the bricks you smash, those are actually people. Look it up, it's real. Anyway, but, like, this is hilarious because this was actually one of the reasons why Smash Brothers originally was supposed to come out in Japan and Japan alone. Because Mr. Iwata and Sakurai were making a fighting game, and it just wasn't that fun. And then they suggested, why don't we put the Nintendo characters in here? And they realized this could work. But then the question was, would the fans, would the gamers appreciate the violence? I mean, would they be okay with these Nintendo mascots beating the crap out of each other? Gee, let me think about that for a few seconds. I mean, it's hilarious to think about now, especially in the world of, like, Mortal Kombat and, you know, Dead or Alive and even Tekken to an extent. So the idea of, you know, people being worried that these characters, these beloved Nintendo characters who are all violent in their own ways, you know, fighting each other is kind of ludicrous. But back then in the 90s, you know, it kind of made sense. But thankfully, their better, or should I say more violent angels prevailed. And we got Smash Brothers, and the rest is history. But could you imagine if this game didn't have Mario? I mean, the literal embodiment of Nintendo.
It's like, if you don't have, like, the other cast without Mario, like, it just feels like they missed it at a big opportunity. They did not put in Mario. And just, like, the entire Nintendo franchise in their history, like, yeah, Link with their sword, Donkey Kong with a little punching, and just, like, all these things. Even Pokemon is violent when you really look into it. And just seeing all these things from Captain Falcon, Ness, and yeah, just all these franchises, like, it would make sense again. Like, we are, I mean, I guess in by nature that we are born violent in a certain aspect. I mean, not to go philosophical on all this, but all characters are somewhat inherently violent. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, think about all the franchises. Okay, like you said, Mario pulls turtles out of their shells. He squishes Goombas on the regular. He repeatedly puts Bowser into lava, if not other things. Luigi, like, exterminates ghosts. Link literally chops up just about any enemy he finds. Samus is a bounty hunter. Let's see. Captain Falcon's a bounty hunter. technically Fox is about. We have a lot of bounty hunters up in Nintendo. What's up with that? Captain Olimar, he uses Pikmin to kill creatures so that he doesn't get eaten.
Kirby's literal black hole.
Yes. His stomach is an infinite dimension of reality in which he doesn't actually kill people. He just absorbs them and then absorbs their strength. That's not creepy at all. Pikachu is a fighting other animals repeatedly and violently.
In a tournament-style ring, which adds another twist.
Dog fighting, basically. Donkey Kong repeatedly kills Kremlins.
Donkey Kong, I would have said, is the least violent because, you know, he's just like Mario does punch and kick in Mario 64. You got the Jacques Wahoo classic combo. And Donkey Kong just kind of jumps on people. But then I realize, the TNT barrels. Donkey Kong does blow people up with TNT.
And his punches are, he can shake the ground to cause earthquakes and, like, you know, kill creatures that way. He rides a rhino to impale his enemies.
Yeah, Donkey. Yeah,
as well as swordfish and a swordfish.
Swordfish, yeah. And
Ness is the least violent by far. I mean, Ness just subdues his enemies.
But he has PK Fire and PK Lightning.
So he does, but like he just like kind of subdues his, like, you know, they just like they reverted back to normal. Like he doesn't hurt anybody that badly. Now you're right, he does, you know, burn people with fire.
Unlike Falcon, who sets people fire with Falcon Punch.
Yeah, yeah. Like I feel like it's not very ambiguous what happens to those Goombas when you step on them.
Take heart, Nintendo. All your characters are violent, so beating up each other is perfectly fine. Like, what is the least violent Nintendo franchise?
Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
Unless
you believe the internet memes about Villager.
I mean, the fact that you're getting chased by a scorpion, tarantulas, and getting stung by bees and wasps, I don't know about that.
No, but that's violence happening to you, not you committing violence.
Yeah, and like that's new to this game, right? So
No. I think this is like on the prior, I think the last entry. But also, like, I still remember even the original game as well. I didn't unknowingly enough actually use my bug net and actually hit another villager as well. So yeah, you can incur violence.
All right, so if it's not animal, it's gotta be Animal Crossing.
It's still Animal Crossing. Like compared to all the links of violence of the other franchise, like a lot of the other franchises, in one way or another, you seek out violence in certain areas. You never really seek out violence in Animal Crossing. That's how you have to look at it.
Yeah.
Right? Mario is squashing enemies. Link is fighting bosses. DK is killing the Kremlins. Samus is killing any alien that's not a part of its mission, her mission. Pikachu and the Pokemon, you know, they're in regular battles, you know. Like, they're seeking out violence.
I got one. Ice Climber. Ice Climber, you're just climbing ice.
This is true. Like,
although you do whack birds with your hammer, so I think Animal Crossing still wins.
Yes, Animal Crossing, but Ice Climbers is a close second. Or, is Cooking Mama? Should we count Cooking Mama?
Cooking Mama, yeah. Is that first party? I really don't know.
I mean, I don't know. Is it first party? It feels like it's first party. Anyway, so yeah, but see, Nintendo, most of your franchises are violent. Congratulations. Terrible. All right. Moving on, we have Luigi's Mansion 3, which has gotten its first DLC, which is cool. Has it come out? It's still come out. It's one of the DLC free packs, right? Oh, here you go. Sorry, I'm misreading. It was released. It was promised by April 30th at the latest. So, but if you get this first pack, you're gonna get a couple of mini games for the multiplayer Scream Park mode. You're gonna get Dodge Brawl, River Bank, and Tricky Ghost Hunt. Furthermore, you will get costumes for co-op in a Scarescraper mode and new levels to deal with. And apparently, Luigi's going back to the 70s to get some really retro hair. Not that I mind. And then the second DLC will be coming soon. Oh, yeah, by July 31st. And each pack is only $10. So, not bad.
Yeah, I mean, good to see that Luigi's Mansion 3 is still getting that multiplayer support and, like, yeah, nice little extra cosmetic things. I mean, the fact that Luigi donning the Disco Fever outfit with Afro is kind of nice, as well as, like, that whole suit of armor. It's always good to see like Nintendo's like still keeping up with like updating their games even after long after release. But I just can't help but wonder, like, do you feel that something like this kind of DLC is good for Luigi? I mean, is it, do you think it's worth it?
I don't really, I mean, it's not interesting to me at this point, but I don't really know. You know, it could be something that's if it's well executed, that would hit a certain audience. I mean, the game sold super well, so just from a sheer volume alone, you'd think they have a good chance of getting people who are interested in it. It doesn't seem like it to me, though. They haven't done a great job of selling it. And the
Yeah.
multiplayer stuff is just not as interesting in Luigi's Mansion, so it's
It,
definitely one of the weaker DLCs, in my
you don't
opinion.
associate Luigi's Mansion with multiplayer. I mean, I know that they tried it with the Wii U, if you recall, Nintendo Land, and
That was awesome. That was great.
yeah, and you know that was fine, but you know that was a game compiled of all multiplayer things, whereas Luigi's Mansion 3 really is a single player game first and foremost, and you can do multiplayer, and that's fine. But like when I was done with the single player mode, which I was really happy to have beaten, definitively beaten, not technically beaten, definitively beaten, I had no desire to go and play multiplayer because I'm just like I have other things I need to do. Like I ain't got time for this. Well, Pokemon was about to come out, so I had to get ready for that. So, you know, it. I'm sure some people will enjoy it, but you know, it's not for us. So, oh well. All right, moving on. We have the announcement of the Smash World Tour. Tyler, take it away.
Yes, so this was very exciting to me because, as you all know, Nintendo does not really support competitive Smash. They did sponsor Evo, but generally speaking, the Smash community, kind of unlike oh, the Overwatch League, puts all of its money in from a grassroots level. And finally, the community organized and has created a Smash Bros. League, so to speak, called the Smash World Tour. They say World Tour, but 90% of the events are in North America and the United States. But there are some events. There's an event in Australia, and there are some events in Europe, so that's pretty cool. And now the total prize pool is up to $250,000. So if you are trying to become a pro smasher, this is the time to get in on it. They've organized it in a pretty cool way where all the different tournaments that they will still be having are now being assigned a point value, and it's sort of just like a year-long season. So the biggest tournaments like Evo are worth the most amount of points, and at the end of the season, the top 31 players and then a wild card who wins an entry tournament will be invited to, I guess, compete for that grand prize of $250,000. So this was really cool. I think it's most interesting in that it's really the community driving this and not Nintendo. I think personally, Nintendo's leaving something on the table here. They should be promoting competitive Smash more than they do, considering just how big esports are becoming. But you know, here's something now for all of you out there who aspire to become pro Smashers. Now there's some money in the game.
It's very interesting, and you're right, Nintendo really doesn't support these tournaments outside of Evo, so seeing the fans come together, hopefully this will be a sign of Nintendo that they need to start working on this, but whether they will, we don't know, because as much as Nintendo is very forward-thinking at times, they're very backwards-thinking at times. We've criticized them about this in the past, and this is definitely one of the areas they're faulting in.
I agree. I agree. It's definitely one. They're always so questioning of why Nintendo won't continue to invest in the competitive scene. I mean, one, it is pretty much free advertising right then and there because again, you're pretty much showing off more of Smash Brothers, and or maybe like perhaps Nintendo's trying not to like really have Smash as like. I don't know, connected to such a like competitive thing, even though base wise it is supposed to be a party game, but it is definitely one something curious of why Nintendo doesn't want to invest into the competitive scene, even though like everybody like they had the dedicated fan base and they want this, so it does raise always something to wonder about.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. I'm definitely going to be, I guess, following this more closely. It's definitely nice. Like, as a, I think the most impressive esports so far have had to have a structure like this, and none of those games are really that interesting to me. But with Smash now finally having a season you can follow like any other sport, it does add more stakes over time. So I do think this could do, you know, this could be a really big boon for the community and for the game in general. Hopefully Nintendo does decide to get on board.
Yeah, one can help. One can help. All right, so no doubt you have heard, and if you haven't heard, well, you're probably in a better off place. So let's spoil it anyway for you. The coronavirus, dun dun dun, is spreading.
It's spreading everywhere, just as I planned.
Terrible. No, but yeah, seriously, the coronavirus is starting to spread, and if you paid attention to certain circuits, a lot of people are already taking extreme precautions to ensure that they are okay. China has shut down like all movie theaters, which is actually causing certain movies to be delayed, if you've seen, including James Bond. Certain Comic Cons are putting in limitations on how you can interact with people. I had this happen with C2E. A lot of artists and writers were like, let's do fist bumps or elbow bumps, but we can't shake hands. The Seattle Comic Con, Emerald City Comic Con, they're potentially getting full off canceled because there's a lot of coronavirus outbreaks in Seattle, apparently. And on and on and on. And so, since the West Coast is one of the heavier affected places in America, a lot of people are wondering if E3 is going to get canceled.
It's definitely like kind of worrisome, to say the least. That like we have a lot of things that's kind of been changing, because again, Sony's not attending, and is Microsoft still attending? I mean, they're doing their
Microsoft, own thing. Microsoft, Nintendo, Ubisoft, Square Enix, certain other companies, at least at present. At present, they're still attending.
So, but yeah, have like this thing really like. Even though as much as we gripe about E3 being like, is it dying and all that, I mean, as much we make fun of it, it would be something sad to see if it would be full on canceled because of this virus scare, which I don't know. It would be sad, because I really do, like, we here as well, we want to hear more of these news of video games, but especially, of course, Nintendo Directs, because that thing always makes us very excited, but
This is something that they're actively considering. I mean, they've in Europe, they've been like literally canceling all their soccer events and playing them at empty stadiums, and you know, it's really become kind of a global. It's already a global thing. If they were to cancel E3 this year, I do think that. I mean, that I don't. We may have seen the last E3 at that point. I mean, with Sony leaving, with Nintendo kind of doing its own thing, I think it's a tough thing to kind of bounce back from. Everybody out there are saying it's over, it's over, it's over. It will be hard for them to bounce back if they do have to cancel it. But, you know, at the same time, could you imagine if people went to E3 and got sick because of it? That would be just, you know, unbelievably tragic. So you have to do, you know, what's best for the visitors.
Yeah, and that's why it's actually kind of heartbreaking to see that potentially Emerald City Comic Con canceling, because DC Comics has already pulled out of it. Oni Press, which is one of the major brands as well, they've pulled out of it. And if any of like their major like guests and stars come out and say they're going to cancel, you know, that's a huge hit. And you could say, oh, it's just 1 year. But 1 year is a long time in an annual event. And, you know, yeah, it might be Seattle's biggest con, just like E3 is one of the biggest game conventions on that side of the world. But, you know, if you cancel it in a bad way, like with coronavirus or because of the coronavirus affecting a lot of people, that's going to hurt your reputation, and that's hard to come back from. So, yeah, it's still debatable how bad the coronavirus technically is. We talked about this last week, but you know, people are afraid of it, and sometimes fear is worse than the actual thing. So we'll just have to see. And if that wasn't bad enough, one of the creative directors behind E3 for the last however many years has just walked out of the company. It was a video game collectibles company, IM 8-Bit. They have been working with E3 for years to supply people with unique collectibles and game releases previously on board with the ESA. And they were planning to help plan for E3 2020 and create some experiences for attendees and blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden they decided, hey, we're resigning from the partnership. So Like, and apparently it was not the most clean of breaks. There was a lot of, like, bad emotions or whatever. According to IM8, but he said, quote, "It's with mixed emotions that IM8 has decided to resign its creative directives of what was to be an evolutionary E3 2020 floor experience. We've produced hundreds of gaming community level events, and it was a dream to be involved with E3. We wish the organizers the best of luck." So yeah, you just lost a person and a group that was trying to help you get better. So take that as you will.
The way I'm seeing the situation is, it seems like there is a lot more discourse than we expect, than we thought it to be. Like, because as we talked, discussed it many times over, and pretty much it, the consensus is that, like, E3 being more corporate, and of course, like, Keith also discussed it more as well, like, is it, like, opening to the public, or is it supposed to be for the industry? It is still trying to, like, basically try to find itself. So, with another major partner of E3 leaving this, with that statement of being of mixed emotions of this breakup, it's just, can't help but wonder what the heck is going on with ESA. Like, are they really want to supply with for the fans? Is it for the industry? It is still, I can't help but wonder, what are they trying to be? Is it truly for the game? Is it truly for the industry? Or is it truly for the public? I wonder what they're trying to do.
Well, it doesn't seem like they may not be around much longer, but it's starting to seem like, it just seems like everybody's kind of collectively resigned themselves to that, which is, I think, a shame, but it's just starting to look that way.
Yeah. It will be sad if E3 dies, but I don't know. I mean,
without Nintendo Directs ever, you know, because they're gone too. Now, how are we going to get news?
Stop.
Like, is it going to go back to, like, the 90s when they just, like, release, like, magazines and you're like, oh, wow, the game's coming out?
Don't give me hope. Do not give me hope that Nintendo Power is going to come back after that
last
issue.
Don't give me hope.
I went to a barcade with a friend of mine on Friday, and they had Nintendo Power magazines at the barcade, and those things are so cool. I hate the fact that they're gone, because just looking at the old ones and the artwork on the cover, they are so great.
I mean, have that old poster, that old issue when Skies Arcade actually first came out for GameCube. Which
really?
Still have,
yeah, sweet.
Yes.
Boy.
Those and old strategy guides. I love old strategy guides.
Yeah. Those are the days. Anyway. So, yeah, so E3 is in trouble, so we'll have to be monitoring that. And then, An interesting thing happened in Japan. Persona 5 Scramble, the Warriors-style version of the game, came out in Japan, and it apparently sold through 75% of its initial shipment. Which, I know, like, we shouldn't be, like, too surprised about that, because, it's a Warrior-style game, and Warrior-style games do really well in Japan, but, you know, it's kind of surprising still.
Like, actually, funny enough, because my cousin actually just ordered his copy from overseas, which I think just came out like 2 days ago. And yeah, it's just very interesting, especially for Switch users, because again, the main game never did came for Switch. I mean, I expect a lot more people actually would play it on the PS4, which, I mean, if it ever comes Westside, I'll probably play it myself just because it just feels much more canon, because from the main game to the spinoff. But for people actually buying for Nintendo Switch, is like, it's very surprising. Like, just like, they want to have that experience ever since with the Joker DLC of Smash, to actually play something else for Nintendo. So it's definitely surprising, to say the least. But yeah.
No, go ahead, we'll finish up.
Well, Japan, of course, naturally with Japan, they love their Musou style games. Like, of course, and Koei Tecmo does decent good work as it is, like, as since, like, compared to, like, Fire Emblem Warriors, which that thing did pretty nicely. So, but it's definitely nice to see that it has a footing in Japan, but if they ever decide to come here West Side, I mean, I wonder how it result here.
West Side!
I'm still angry about last week when they said, ask us more if you want it, you have to speak louder. Like we didn't speak loud enough the past 2 years.
We've had Twitter movements. It's not our problem that you didn't pay attention to Twitter. We've been tagging you and you don't respond. How are we supposed to know if you listen to us? I was like, I am going to write an angry post on my Facebook page about this.
Yeah. Pretty much that was it, yeah.
Like, gentlemen, I recommend we do a TikTok video,
Oh,
mocking
God, no.
them if we can, and then starting a movement, you know, getting the Persona 5 crew. Yeah, we'll do TikTok Persona style. There you go.
Oh, God, no.
Make it so. Oh, I don't know. Mission is a go. There you go. All right. So now we're gonna have a little bit of fun because if you don't remember, this week was the official 3-year anniversary of the Nintendo Switch. Yes, the Nintendo Switch came out on March 1st in 2017, and we have now had 3 full years to enjoy the Nintendo Switch in its games and its properties and its mobility and all that. Now we could do something to where we like list our favorite, you know, moments, or we list our favorite games from the day. Well, we've talked about these games to death, so we're gonna do something a little bit different. We're gonna go jump into the future and ask ourselves, our future selves, what the impact of the Switch has been from the first 3 years from their point of view. So, gentlemen, it's time to go to the future! I am Supreme Leader Triforce Todd, and welcome to episode 5366 of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast Supreme! And for those of you who forget, I am Supreme Leader because I run Nintendo now. It only took them, you know, 5 years to hire me, but I made sure I never left. So joining me today are my co-hosts, again and forever. Gentlemen, introduce yourselves!
Roy Willie, you're first.
Oh, why me? I mean, like, even after all these years, even after all those advances in science and all that, like, I still have can't help but feel like our personality is still the same after all these millennia. But either way, my name is William. I'm still the old wee famous part of the NP crew, and I'm just gonna say, like, the future. I gotta give props to Nintendo. They have improved it because, like, apparently they have been changing a little bit more of their stances of late. But yes, I'm back with your lovely otaku that you know and love.
And I have some news for you. Tellius Tyler, of course, checking in. Week number, I guess this is going to be about 533 weeks without a Nintendo Direct, but this is the week. It is happening. We're getting a Nintendo Direct this week, and you guys can play the GIF or play the video next week if I am wrong, because I guarantee you, I have it on good account from President LeBron James that we will have a Nintendo Direct. So I'm very excited.
Tyler, my brother of 10 years. Did you forget I'm Supreme Leader of Nintendo? I did away with Nintendo Direct just to spite you.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
It's like
Yeah,
you
that
are
was what, six?
delusional. What do you think this is, 2020? Dog! We didn't get to Nintendo Direct until September that year. And you cried for like 5 minutes solid. It was kind of depressing, actually.
I'm still embarrassed about that. I'm sorry you had to see that.
And after
Yeah.
all these years, you still have not admitted that love beats money after all these years.
Listen,
Oh,
it
I'm
was
surprised
rigged.
you
And Todd, I'm still angry that you haven't released the transcripts. Release the transcripts, Todd. You know now that I was right about the corruption in those Splatfests.
Well, those documents, my brother, have been mysteriously burned in a fire. You
Right.
could say that I did it in a snap. Am I right, Will? Yeah. Also, I'll release those documents the moment you release that Celeste review. I've only been waiting 11 years. So,
It's
now my
coming,
bro.
I promise.
Yeah. No, my brothers, on this anniversary, we are going to look back on the first 3 years of the Nintendo Switch and talk about how it impacted our world of gaming today. And as your supreme leader, I will go first because I am benevolent and malevolent like that. So shut up! So, the biggest thing that I recall was that when the Switch was announced, everyone was like, okay, this is cool, right? I mean, they were like, it's an extension of that Wii U thing, which I'm pretty sure we burned away from our memories. And we're like, okay, mobility, it's a thing, right? So we're like, okay, it's cool, but we didn't know how cool it was. We didn't know how those great OGs of Nintendo did it until we got it in our hands. And then for those first 3 years, we just enjoyed the mobility of it. At least I did, because I only played it in a handheld mode, unlike you suckers who played it next to your TVs. What's wrong with you? I mean, do you remember how small those TVs were back then? 24 inches, 36 inches, 50 inches. We have holographic projections now that could go 100 inches tall. Oh, dream. Oh, sorry. Been a long work week. Anyway, so, you know, it was the mobility that a lot of people loved. And then who knew that in 2025, just a few years after the release of the PS5 and the Xbox Series X thingamabobber, that they decided to scrap everything and make their own portable consoles, which proves the definitive rule of law. When in doubt, copy Nintendo. Copy them. Do it terribly. And they did. They sucked. I mean, they didn't even sell as well as the Switch did, which is why it lasts until 2028. All right? So it's just, it was the mobility. It was the freedom. It was the ability just to go anywhere and game with a console style power, the console style look, and to play with friends via those Joy-Cons. Okay, granted, they didn't really fix those Joy-Cons until 2023, but hey, at least they fixed them eventually. Am I right, boys?
You are absolutely right. By the Super Switch model,
oh yeah,
they were down. They were perfect.
Yeah. Was that 2022 or 2023? Methinks I have a memory problem.
Yeah, that was 2023. That was 2023. I remember because, you know, we were doing NEP.
Yeah.
It was announced. We all rushed to get the thing downloaded. And, you know, much like the first time, we were in early enough to get it, which was a miracle.
Well, we do have that look. And then, ironically enough, it was only 2 years later that I got hired as Supreme Leader. And then you guys got all of the consoles and upgrades and games because of me, which is why you're in my eternal servitude.
When did you develop the accent, though? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of wondering myself as well. Like, you
my brothers, like, you had to evolve with the times. You got to evolve with them hard times. I will tell you about hard times. I have wine and dined with kings and queens, and I've eaten tables of pork and beans and mushrooms. The accent evolved naturally.
All right, Mr. Jeff Regard, Beauregard Sessions. All right.
First of all, this is the clearly dusty roads. The American dream. Okay, me and my polka dots. So you watch your dang mouth.
Ha. Huh.
I think the most crazy thing that's happened since 2020 is that in Smash Bros. 6, IGN gave the game a 9.8, demanding that there be more Fire Emblem characters. I was shocked. Now, I know you. This is because in the first 3 years of the Switch, JRPGs were huge. Three Houses was big. Xenoblade was big.
Mm-mm.
And those franchises, I mean, they hit their high watermark back in the first 3 years of the Switch and have only continued to grow from here. It kind of has changed the way people viewed Nintendo games. They finally started to kind of change their image from a child-first company to an everybody company with these more mature titles.
Yes.
And listen, I wasn't complaining when they added Hector. I wasn't complaining when they added Ephraim. I don't know. Do we need 14 characters in Smash?
I will forever be mad that they put that fool Donald in there. All right. That was before my time at the company. I do not take responsibility for that. All right.
And I still can't believe that even all these years they put in Sora of all things, and to the point that actually managed to go in. And I don't know, somehow, that he might have to put an anime character like Goku in this thing is like,
Well, Will, I didn't want spoilers for you, but since we're looking back, I can confirm that Goku is the first DLC character of a Smash Brothers War. Yo,
breaking
well.
News! Play the breaking news sound.
It's just really so amazing to see, like, Nintendo have seems to be growing much more since all those that first 3 years, honestly. Like, as I said, like, even for my old otaku weeb nature, like, they really have been going on with the whole anime things. Like, to think that even back then when Astro Chain came out for Platinum Games, now they're just kind of going on with it. I mean, heck, I think last I checked on the library records, like, actually have Dead or Alive in this game, or even much more looter titles. I mean, heck, the fact that you guys still haven't, like, still badgered me after all these years that Seton Kagura would never be on this game. Like, we don't need more Seton Kagura. But lo and behold, we have so much more entries that Life and Hometown is still ever present to this current year.
I did. Like, to shut you up. Didn't work.
Didn't work.
I will continue talking about Life and Hometown after all these years and 100 years to come. It will be written in my epitaph. It will be written in the holograms videos as
hey, go on. I was just thrilled I got them boys back at Platinum Games to make Bayonetta 4, and I got them to do it in a Days of Future Past way so that she got to meet her past selves. It was the ultimate four-player co-op experience, all right?
That was a great game.
I want to hit on
Will mentioned Sora in Smash Bros, which of course was only possible because Nintendo bought Disney. After the incredible success of Super Nintendo World, it surpassed Disney World as the greatest theme park in the world. Finally, and you can speak on this, Todd, the plans to bring in other franchises outside of the Marioverse. But man, and one of the greatest things of your tenure has been the power of the Nintendo brand. It did start with the Switch, kind of turning things around after the Wii U slump. But Nintendo's brand has never been more powerful, and it does have those early Switch years to thank for it.
Well, it's just the thing that I remember us talking about in those early days was that Nintendo would listen to us, and then they didn't listen to us. You know, how many years did we have to ask before we got Ridley in the game? You know, like, and then King K. Rool and all that. We still haven't gotten Crystal, but that was because, you know, what happened with Star Fox. We don't like talking about that anymore. But, but you know, it's just when I took over as Supreme Leader of Nintendo, my goal was to listen to the fans unless they said something really stupid, like with that Sega and Kangaroo crap. But again, I tried to give Willy what he wanted to shut up, and now he won't.
Hey, do not underestimate the power of the waves. Last I checked out throughout these many years, the community has grown ever much more powerful, better or for worse.
Do not say that for
Smash fans.
Definitely for worse, Will. Definitely for worse.
Anyway, but like,
I'm the Supreme Leader, you will shut your mouth.
I've just been trying so hard just to listen to the fans, you know, and the OGs made Nintendo World, and I saw the potential. Then when I got to be Supreme Leader, I realized we could do more. So I put a lot of money into making even better rides and better games and being allowing the people to bring the Nintendo Switches without fear of being stolen, and, you know, integrating them into the games to have an even more interactive experience. And then I talked with Square Enix, and we made that Kingdom Hearts ride that was one of the best, most written rides in the history of theme parks. And, you know, then Ubisoft won that Rabbids collaboration because of what happened with Mario and Rabbids 3 Kingdom Battle War. I have a lot of war titles.
You have a lot of war titles. You really do. Smash Bros. War, I kind of like, but Kingdom Battle War, that might have needed some more work.
Well, is either that a conflict? But conflict just sounds too long to say.
Conflict, you know, sounds like a 1920s dispute over territory.
There you go. We haven't had that since 2024. So, you know, it's just like the rabbits was a huge thing with the kids, which I think they creep me out, but whatever. And it's just, I want to listen to the fans. Like they said, Todd, we want Golden Sun. And I gave them Golden Sun. Now it's on its fourth game in the reboot. And they said, Todd, keep giving us Metroid games after Metroid Prime 4 was Game of the Year 2023. And so I gave it to them. And Metroid Prime 5, dang, it was a hit. Sold 25 million copies. And I was just like blown away. So I've tried so hard to be so sweet and listen to the fans. And I'd like to think I have made my predecessors proud.
Well, one area of Nintendo that I think they're still suffering from, and this is not your fault, those are the people before you, of course. Nintendo Online is still behind its competition. And with Game Pass, Xbox Game Pass services kind of really picking up steam and becoming popular amongst consumers, I mean, who better to ask than the Supreme Chancellor? How has Nintendo changed its approach to Game Pass services over the past 10 years?
Well, first of all, I am Supreme Leader, not Supreme Chancellor. That makes me sound like I run some over some galactic empire or something.
That's what I like to go for, because, you know, any way to smear your reputation, you know I'm going to take advantage.
Yeah, just remember, I can fire you, Tyler. It'd be so easy. So easy. Anyway, I'll admit, online stuff is hard. You know, I thought it was just Nintendo once upon a time being kind of rigid, and then I get to be Supreme Leader, and I'm like, we gotta fix Nintendo Switch Online and make it better for the people. We've tried so hard, but it's just a hard thing, man. Programming sucks. Alright, I knew this back when I was in college back in 2012 or something or whatever. I try to forget my college days. They sucked. But... No, they did. I was like, what did I really need to learn trigonometry? I'm a writer, dang it. I come up with ideas. I have other people doing the math. Anyway. So, you know, online stuff is hard, but I have a feeling that with our next console that we are working on right now, we will truly revolutionize the online industry. It just took us 14 years to do it.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I do think one of the greatest innovations of the Switch was the portability. Of course, everybody knows that. But to me, the ideal world is being able to get those games at a cheap price, being able to play them anywhere. You know, as internet structures have continued to evolve, I think it's very important that Nintendo invest and look into how they can make it possible to stream their games anywhere. That would help them kind of stay affordable and stay on the cutting edge of technology while maintaining that Nintendo identity.
Mm-mm-mm. Right. It's all, and also just taking the fact, like, because they still have a lot more, like, back then they still had a lot more to improve. Heck, you remember the days that we, like, back on, even on the, like, records history of the Wii U, they actually had a great shop called the Nintendo eShop with all these classic titles, virtual consoles, all that,
and yet on the Nintendo Switch,
they still have nothing on the Nintendo Switch back in the first 3 years. I mean, like, have they not learned anything from history? I get where that old history goes. If you never not learn from history, you are destined to repeat it. And like that, those 3 years, like, they still have not, like, brought back any replacement for the virtual console, which, I don't know, that's kind of something to think about since then.
I completely agree, and it's one of the few things that Triforce Todd has done wrong in his reign is just, you know, when he ordered the deletion of all records of the Wii U, because the virtual console was a phenomenal idea, and I understand we have to purge our dark history, I get it, but...
The virtual console was born on the Wii. Knowing your history, young man. Alright, and second of all, I tried so hard to get that back, but then one of my advisors, the young Miyamoto II, he was like, my friend, my brother, looking to the past is great, but we need to work on the future, and that's why, from the years 2025 to 2030. I might have been smoking something earlier. hey, this is a new age, my brothers. Anyway, maybe that's where my accent came from. But, you know, for 2025 to 2030, the Nintendo Switch and its other successor has had the most first-party releases in Nintendo history. We were able to do one every 2 months to give the games that you deserved, including numerous Game of the Year nominees and winners. So, yeah, we could have brought back the past, but it would have only been a supplemental thing compared to the innovations of the franchises that I, your Supreme Leader, have given to you over my tenure. You're welcome!
And speaking of resurrections, I cannot believe that on the back of the Sonic the Hedgehog movie, Sega was able to revive that franchise, get back into the console business, and buy Sony. What a twist.
Hey, miracles happen. Miracles happen.
It's crazy. I mean, Sonic has never been bigger, and,
And yet, it's still not as big as Nintendo. Now, then, forever.
It's weird that you would bash Sonic, especially when Sonic and Mario Sarasaland Showdown is coming out to theaters near you in a few months. But, you know,
I did not want that movie. They said it'd make me money, so I allowed it. But when it bombs, I'm going to play that. What was that? Will, do you remember that clip we used to play that one time about throwing back heads and laughter. I'm going to dig that up from the archives and play it when that movie bombs.
Actually, I looking through the records, you know, I think we still have some old audio recordings actually private right now. I think,
if you do, go ahead. I want to picture this.
Now come, Piper, we throw our head back and laugh. Ready?
Ready!
Oh, that's a good one,
I'm not sure what's so funny when, you know, it's Sonic is back, and I couldn't be happier. The best decade in Sonic's life. Who would have expected it to be the 2020s?
Hey, if I will never knock the ability to do well as long as it doesn't interfere with me, and it has not. Sonic has done well, but Mario once again has done better. So that's, live and let live, man. Live and let live.
Is Mario Kart 9 ever going to come out? I know it Deluxe is still selling millions of copies every quarter, but can we get a Mario Kart 9?
I'm getting to the part where we actually maybe to the point of just skip the 9 and maybe go for the whole generation of 10 because it just seems much more, I don't know, much more further designed.
Will. If anything, we could just say that 9 was a lost cause. Kind of like Star Fox 2 back in the day.
Yeah,
fair. That game only got released on, what was that, SNES mini thing? That was weird. Remember, really? It had a three-foot cord or something like that?
That was tough. That was a brilliant move by you, though, to rebrand the Star Fox series after Star Wolf, the more popular character. It gave it an edge that it really needed.
Yeah, but then we had that one issue. Remember? That's why we don't talk about that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Hey, that wasn't my fault either. I can't help how the Chinese branded that thing. Not my fault. Not my fault. That was their worst mistake since the coronavirus. Okay, I'm just calling it right now. So, okay, let's. I want to look back really fondly at these last 5 years, especially which was the end of the Switch era. What was your favorite non-Sonic game of the last 5 years on Nintendo platforms? I'll tell you mine. Mine was Fire Emblem Clash the Five Kingdoms. I was the head of that one. It came out really well. It was based off my best-selling book series. And I'm really happy that fans resonated with it. And it was, of course, the first Fire Emblem game to ever win Game of the Year.
Yeah, that's a great one, and it had a really good name, too. I have to give you credit for that. Some would say you were riffing on Game of Thrones, the War of the Five
Game
Kings.
Game of what?
Was that
the one
where
that brother
show,
and sister did it all the time?
Yeah, it was a popular show back in the mid-2010s.
Yeah, what did that one girl say? Dracarys or something like that? Harry Potter word or something?
Close enough. Yeah, my favorite was Mother 3, Mother 4, which was finally released. A new wave of developers came together and gave us a really thoughtful and insightful look on what it's like to live in the 2020s, filled with the political comedy that you would expect from a Mother game, but not without losing the heart. The heart was still there. Just a phenomenal title, and I just can't believe when Ness appeared at the end. You know,
that
it was an unbelievable
beautiful twist,
and an adult Ness still wearing the hat side. Oh, it was great. Loved it.
I'm not gonna lie to you, Tyler. When they showed the cut scene to me first time before it was ever released, I cried.
I can't blame you. I did too. We all did. Who didn't?
Well, Hayden. Hayden.
Oh man, that's a classic line.
I have no surprises.
Well, for me, probably the best game that I played during this year is probably going to be in the Platinum Library. It's just, having so much great things. Astro Chain 3, even bringing Nier to the Switch. It's hard to say, but I gotta see. It's just so much great. I'm just mostly on the Platinum Collection, just, all these great titles from Platinum Games. But if they have to choose one of them, it'd probably have to go with, Platinum's Reincarnation of Skies of Arcadia. Skies of Arcadia 4, that was an amazing game. Actually bringing, old classic age of exploration, sky piracy, to this current age right now. And plus also making all the models so much more grateful. You know how many polygons are in those models? How many polygons through every facial feature and asset, all that? Have you not seen those things?
You're welcome.
It's just so amazing to finally they get finally, after all these millennia and years, the have Skies of Arcadia 4 to finally come here.
Wait a minute. Is it millennia or years? Make up your mind.
I don't know. It feels like it's all blurring together to me. It just feels like it was ages since, like, back in those earlier years, I've been preaching, like, give us number two, and lo and behold, now we got all these entries. It just, it makes this old spirit happy.
Alright, well, I do believe, my brothers, that this is enough of a look into our future, so I say we go back to the past in a snap. What the heck was that? Oh, gosh. Did I really sound like that in the future? Gosh, dang.
I sure hope that you don't smoke whatever you smoked for that first time, because, boy, was that a doozy.
That was a doozy.
I mean, I know I've always been a weeby. Yeah, then I'll be a weeb now, but now I'm a weeb then. I mean, it would be so surprising.
I think the least surprising thing is that apparently Tyler still loves Sonic in the future, and you're still harping on Skies of Arcadia, all right? So I think that's the least shocking thing about our futures. Okay, with that scary look into our future, we're going to end this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
Yes, last week we asked you if you were going to buy Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, and 67% of you said no, and 33% of you said yes.
Mm.
And not surprisingly, a lot of the reviews I've seen said it was a very clunky remake, which I could tell from the trailer.
Sadly, it does seem a little rushed.
Sadly enough, because it is like a very niche kind of genre. The dungeon crawler is still very fairly niche, so I wouldn't expect it to be a greatly popular for the public.
All right, so I'm actually kind of curious. Do you think we should ask a question about whether E3 will be canceled because of coronavirus?
Yeah.
So do you think that E3 will be canceled because of the coronavirus? I'm very, very curious about what you all think about that. And, of course, let us know what you think about everything that's been going on with the updates on Bayonetta 3 and Wonderful 101. Are you going to get the Luigi's Mansion 3 DLC? Are you going to be part of the Smash Brothers tour? And are you hoping that Persona 5 Scramble does indeed come over to the West, or that we get the actual Persona 5 game that we are asking for? I'm just saying. Ooh, that was something we should have asked my future self, was whether we finally got Persona 5 on Switch. Darn, missed opportunities.
Spoiler alert, we didn't.
We didn't. Probably not. All right. So let us know in the comments below. So for Tellius, Tyler, and Warrior Will, I am Triforce Todd. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We made it to the end of the level. So raise the flag.